It is 6 p.m. on Tuesday, February 24th, 2026. We will call the Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Fargo.
Here.
Milo, absent. Weigel.
Here.
Bachelman.
Present.
Abelson.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on February 10th. I had two changes. One was under the youth council, Kyla has an H at the end of her first name. And the second one actually had to do with you, Ryan, and that's when we were talking about chickens there. The very last line of the, I guess, last page of the minutes, under your section, it said, two cities he has worked for, Jasper and Terre Haute. You have not worked for Jasper, right?
No, I have not.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, but you contacted Jasper.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so that was just a clarification I had. Were there any other changes or corrections? Do I have a motion to approve with noted changes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, second by Brent. Further discussion? All those in favor should be the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next up is Ordinance 2026-6. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
I'll make motion.
Yes.
Sorry. Okay. Motion by Brent, seconded by Ryan. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read Ordinance 2026-6 by title only.
Ordinance 2026-6, vacation of public way.
Okay. So, again, Mr. Trier is here. If anybody has any questions for him, anybody have any questions for him?
Regarding the motion, we approve it.
Okay.
Second.
A motion to approve by Ryan, seconded by, I think, Tad, right?
Yep.
Okay. Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor should be the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Okay. So.
We've connected. He knows.
He knows the process. Cool.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
appreciate
Scott.
It.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Next up, thanks, Scott. Next up is Ordinance 2026-7. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So,
motion by Ryan. Okay, I saw Ryan's hand first. So motion by Ryan, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read Ordinance 2026-7 by title only.
Ordinance 2026-7, an ordinance adopting formal rules of behavior for attendees at meetings.
So again, we had good conversation about this last time, but effectively this puts rules in place for I'll get there. I apologize. Forgetting my official title. The presiding officer and the public and kind of how public comment period will go, things to that effect. So.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Ryan, seconded by Brent to approve. Further discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up, Ordinance 2026-8. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
Motion.
Second. Motion by Ryan, seconded by Tad. Further discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read Ordinance 2026-8 by title only.
Ordinance number 2026-8, an ordinance restating and amending Chapter 100 of Title 9 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Leslie.
So this is, as we spoke about or talked about in retreat, this is to be able to add a fee for the street closures. We did have some discussion, open discussion, just dialogue at the Board of Works, so that we could kind of at least mull it around for a couple weeks before we come to a final determination of what that fee will be. So as you'll see in the ordinance, we're not stating that fee because we're trying to move away from that. It's my understanding from Marcia, instead of having fees in the ordinances. So that will be listed separately once it's decided upon.
Because I think we're just going to do like kind of standard fees across the board.
Yeah.
So all the different things you sign up for.
Well, so the Board of Works kind of talked about it. I think where we were leaning, correct me if I'm wrong, But I think where we were leaning was kind of do a per block fee. So if you have one block of downtown, it's $25 or something, right? If you have a block or two blocks, then it's going to be 50 or something like that, that just has some kind of a standardized fee. With the idea, though, that if you're going to do a, if you're going to do the North and South Chauncey plus the 100 block of West Van Buren, that you automatically have to do the 200 block of West Van Buren, just because there's no outlet for cars as they come in. There's no outlet to turn around.
Is there a time frame on it? So is that by event? If you have a 4-hour event, is it different for somebody that has a 3-day event?
It's a good question. I think we, in our conversation, we set aside Old Settlers because it's kind of its own beast. And they actually do compensate us for multiple things already. First Friday is already worked up in agreement with Leslie on janitorial services and stuff for their events. So we did not, to your point, we did not differentiate between a half-day event, a full-day event, things like that. I would assume, though, I don't want to speak out of turn for the other Board of Works member here, but I would assume if it's a multi-day event, then that would be the times per day. So $25 for a block. If you're having it 3 days, now it's $75 a block or whatever the case is. So I don't know. We didn't get into that depth.
I know we spoke a little bit about this at retreat.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the police and the fire department. Are there events where they are asked, other than them just gracing them,
yes,
out of the goodness of their heart,
yes,
which is perfectly fine.
Sure.
Are there any events that request police and fire, and so how do we go about charging them or changing that?
Yeah, so if there's additional police coverage or fire coverage in that matter, I think that definitely could be something that could be worked into that fee schedule that, again, wasn't necessarily contemplated. But, Gary, do you want to comment on that? And Tom, I'll go to you after that. But
yeah, like Old Settlers, you know, we have to close down every intersection. We have a police officer pretty much at every intersection down Main Street, Veterans Marathon. We have multiple police officers come in off duty, so it's overtime. So it was just something that I know we did talk about that at the retreat as well. So again, like he said, you know, the guys enjoy going downtown,
yep,
you know, but if they get a call or something, then they can't. So if they want police presence down there, then I think there should be an additional.
Sure.
Just well, and I'm certainly not opposed to giving those services, but on the backs of the taxpayers, if it's a private organization that's having something like that,
sure.
I don't think that's kosher.
Right.
And that's something we should look at, that they should reimburse, whether it be an overtime rate for you two or whatever else. However that may be, it should be compensated somehow. And I'm just my opinion.
Right. So. And I'm not disagreeing. I agree because, again, if they're downtown, they get a call, they have to run out. So if they actually request an officer downtown,
they're working there.
Yeah,
quote unquote, right?
Absolutely, and I agree. I agree.
Right.
If they're asking for additional coverage at the event to have somebody actually watching over the event, then I 100% agree, yeah, that they should compensate the city.
If it's an intersection closure for 10 minutes, 20 minutes,
yeah,
we get that.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So.
And that has happened, Mayor. I mean, we had a few of the downtown events request a police officer, and they paid the rate of what everybody,
yeah,
else pays. So
I think, yeah, that's very, yeah, reasonable to,
yeah,
request, right?
Right. So if they request it, then,
yeah,
they pay the.
But for, yeah, events that are happening downtown, that, you know, they go, our officers go and do their rounds. They do a walkthrough. They go and do their rounds. I think we can all agree that's good.
I mean,
but
right,
to your point, though, if they're asking for someone to be at the facility or in that block or in that two blocks or whatever for the extended period of time, they 100% should be paying for that officer. I agree.
And they have done that.
Yeah.
At least I know, yeah, one of them has done.
But I think it's important.
Gary, are they paying the officer directly?
Yeah, they pay the officer directly.
So they're paying them as an off-duty officer?
That's the same way, I apologize, but that's the same way that we do for, like,
if they go to the Van Buren,
the banks, or if they're going to do it, they do all, that's the extra patrol they can sign up for, and they get compensated directly from the individual.
Right. Now, the Veterans Marathon and Old Settlers is different.
Yeah.
Because we've never got anything from them, so we just suck that up and eat it. So.
But we don't station people there, so to speak, correct?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
At intersections, we do.
For the parade or for the event? Because there's two separate things.
For the parade.
You're not talking about the whole week.
But you're
talking about Old Settlers, the whole
week.
He's
saying the whole event. Like, we don't have someone in Midway.
No. So, like, on Saturday night of the parade, we have all the guys stay around a couple hours because it's super busy downtown. Sure. So the guys that come in stay a few more hours just to make sure it clears out stuff.
But again, to the point is, if you have someone staying on the Midway throughout the entire
day, you hire at least a stay there from 5 to midnight.
Exactly. No. Yes. Right. Okay. 100%. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry, Dad. No, you go ahead. Is that something we should put in here, or is it just that's
no.
The
Well, if they're being paid directly by the individual with the officer, I don't think that's a fee schedule we would create, unless we wanted to take that in-house, which I don't know that we want to.
I think the guys would rather, correct me if I'm wrong, pay from the
direct.
It's a little cleaner for them.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It's more direct, yeah.
Okay.
Plus, it keeps us out of it.
Have we thought about, the reason I'm asking is this came up with us, if an officer gets hurt, he's being paid or she's being paid by Starbank, they get hurt off duty, who covers the insurance? We had that happen. They filed a lawsuit against the city of Terre Haute. The city of Terre Haute had to cover them, their medical bills. So I just...
It's a good question.
I mean, I hope it never happens.
Right.
But it's got the potential, and so it's just something that we should mull over and kind of have a standard. If this happens, if you're being paid by X, Y, and Z and not by the city, what's the avenue if you get hurt? Is that something that's covered on theirs? Is it something that's covered on ours? How's that work? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
food for thought.
Right. Yeah. I assume it'd be the same way. We probably, because they're still representing, they got our uniform.
I think too, but I'm not
sure. Our uniform,
our police,
our badge,
our
firearm.
Still working kind of on behalf of the city.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The police versus fire football we had, where there was injuries.
Right. Yeah. So you end up paying that.
Mm-hmm. Tom, I know we focused primarily on police here, but do you have additional things you'd like to?
It's the same thing as Gary. When we fill in intersections as well for both of those events, and or for a lot of the events when they don't have enough guys, it's the same scenario.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
But you're not paying guys to come in off duty. It's your guys that are here.
No,
we're paying guys to come in because we don't have enough guys to allow to go out. So we have to hire guys in on overtime to come in and.
So if a private organization has a race and they want the streets shut down, and the police needs help, taxpayers are paying for our firefighters to go out and block intersections due to this private organization having a race.
Yes.
They're paying for the police department as well.
Oh, so they're getting paid. I asked if it was on taxpayer money.
It
was on taxpayers. Ours is overtime to the fire department, through the fire department to come in and block those intersections.
So who pays for it? The event? The people who hold the event?
No.
The city does.
Same as the police department,
right.
Though.
For the...
Like the Old Settlers Day Parade, the city is paying for those officers to come in and work overtime. It is not Old Settlers paying for it. It's
right.
The city.
But to your point earlier, Brian, I think, again, if it's... So for Old Settlers, the Old Settlers Parade is, what, 2 hours? Start to finish,
yeah.
Let's say, right?
Now.
You know, that's very different than a 4 or 6 or 8 hour event, obviously, during the day. And that's the longest parade we have. Majority of those parades, I'm thinking homecoming parade, lighted Christmas parade. I mean, you could say Veterans Marathon, although that appears that's...
The Memorial Day run.
Memorial Day run. But again, we're talking about very short times. Like, Old Settlers is the longest time frame from a parade perspective.
Correct.
So, you know, again, how do you parse that out of a 15-minute homecoming parade versus a 2-hour Old Settlers parade?
And I mean, my goal is not to make money off everybody by
sure.
any means.
I agree.
I just want to make sure we're not spending $100,000 a year on the back of taxpayers to pay overtime for private events. That shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Especially to that, too, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think we're on the same page when it comes to that. And again, I think that's where we've differentiated if they're being called in specifically for the event. And by that, I mean the actual event, not a parade. Parade is kind of separate. But if it's an event where they want to have protection or things like that, then that's on their dime. If it's a blocking of streets for parades, I mean, that is a public safety thing that we do. So it's, I'm with you, though. I hear what you're saying. And
another food for thought, you know, the door thing, when that comes in, you might want to think about having some officers downtown, too, because if that starts happening and people are...
Dora, yeah. But that shouldn't actually... Well, it should... the door, what should happen with DORA is that it's more structured, and it's a and it it's more of a to ensure people aren't being overserved necessarily. Right. But I get the point. Okay, so in front of you is Ordinance 26-8.
I think Tad
had it. I had a question.
Oh, yes, Tad, I'm sorry.
So, if the fee isn't figured out yet, or is it structured,
right?
How do we pass the ordinance without that, or is it just, do we have to pass something additional?
So, what you're doing effectively with the ordinance is establishing that there is a fee. That's what you're doing.
Got it. Okay.
And then the fee is effectively... passed by Board of Works. So it's the same thing with utility fees and other things like
okay,
that.
Okay, I understand. I just wanted to understand in case someone asked me.
Sure. I think that's very fair.
Yep.
I have another question.
Yes, sir.
Sorry. What is different about this than what the previous ordinance was? So it's an amended, right?
So there was no reference to that a fee will be imposed or could be imposed. Yeah. But we've added the verbiage in that there will now be a fee for the street closings.
Okay.
And then up to Board of Works to determine that fee, and it'll be on a fee schedule.
Fair enough. That's all I need to know.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Ryan to approve, seconded by Tad. Further discussion. All those in favor should be the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. We'll move it to a second reading at the next meeting. Department head reports. Kelly.
We're ready for spring to hit. Worked some more snow. Sunday had a crew come in due to slip roads, and then myself and four guys came in Monday morning and put some more material down. So hopefully we're on our way to spring here pretty quick. Had some street name signs. Some of the ones we purchased a while ago are getting pretty faded, so we've been trying to replace them as we can. Doing some road and sign maintenance also. Running the sweeper as much as we can when weather allows. And then investigated some sewer tap locations with our televising truck this week. And then our sewer truck's still down, so our ground equipment. It's got a bad hydraulic pump, and we're hopeful that we can get one to replace that thing. And then the leak pile back in Morris's Park, we had a company come in right now, so it's available to the public at their convenience.
Question of Kelly. Thank you. Tom.
We're currently testing out some Motorola radios for their 800 radios. We've tested, I believe, three other brands, and next Board of Works and Council will be giving a report back on our findings. 101 is still waiting for repairs for its coolant and oil leak leaks. Our mechanic had some medical issues and he was not able to get those done. Live burns that I talked about at the last meeting that were last Tuesday went very well. That went in conjunction with our fire instructor 2 class, which is now complete. We got a bunch of our younger guys through that course. That way they can help give live fire burns training out and a lot of other different types of training. We did that live fire last Tuesday in conjunction with the academy, the fire academy that they put on at the high school, and that went really, really well. Our breathing air compressor is still awaiting. I talked at the last council and Board of Works meetings in reference to a computer that Hoosier Fire had found and was sending off to have flashed. Justin from Hoosier Fire will be here on March 4th to take a look at that. And we're working with Raynard Door. We did work with Raynard Door. Our 3 of our 4 garage door openers down in the station here had 25-year-old openers, and we found out that we couldn't get parts for them anymore. We did take quotes to get those replaced. Believe this is shocking to me, to have those replaced with similar openers. There was a, Leslie, correct me if I'm wrong on this, a $10,000 difference to have 3 garage door openers replaced. So, yeah, I found that to be shocking. So we obviously went with the least expensive equal garage door openers that we have currently. So
Okay, learn it.
Questions or comments? Thank you, Matt.
Park Board last night went over some estimates of the dog park fencing that we had. There's a couple of members that have some questions, so I'm meeting back up with the contractors out there to go over their questions with them before they decide. Baseball sign up, baseball softball sign up will be until March 7th. We got our pool pump back, so we can get that in because it'll be here sooner than you think. The guy's been working on Dreamland Pavilion, so we can have it rented. We're hoping to have that rented sometime in March, start renting that back out. And I had a contractor come in, or having one come in, to take a look at the tiles on the pool. The grout gets wore by the chemicals and that, and then the water gets back behind, freeze thaw, blows them out. We had a corner that blew out last year right before the end of the year. So we just kind of let that set and did the rest of the season. And then we've got the guy coming in to repair those major defects that we have. And then we're going to be talking to him about how to make the grout and stuff ready for the following year. That grout lasts about 6 years, and we're on the seventh year. So something that we just have to keep maintaining.
Questions to Matt?
Aye, grout.
Thank you. Gary?
All right. I know each meeting I report on the officers down at the academy, Blocker, Didion, and Garmin, but sometimes when you go down to the academy, you get lost in the shuffle and you get forgotten about, so I want to make sure they're not forgotten about. They're in their eighth week, and this week they had their specialty weeks, which is called breakout weeks, firearms, emergency vehicle operations, and defensive tactics, so they're all doing well there. Actually, it was last weekend, this week too, so they're doing different ones. So they're doing a good job there, passing with flying colors, so proud of them. Dispatch had a few minor equipment issues, which are pretty easy fixes at low to no cost. We did have Motorola, they got to come in and fix a couple things, like a light and one of the monitors are out, but we don't know if it's the monitor or cable or what. We tried to fix it ourselves, but. So they're going to come in, but that's all under the maintenance contract, so that shouldn't cost the city any money. So good things are going there. It's nice to have nice equipment and under warranty still. So, again, thanks to the council and Board Works for that. We had the Lego event, which we call it the Connecting Our Community One Brick at a Time, which was a huge success. A lot of families enjoyed it, made a lot of comments on Facebook. The officers really enjoyed it. We had enough of officers show up that we had an officer at each table, plus a couple guys floating around. So proud of our guys there for showing up for that. Again, just lots of things going on, day-to-day operations. The warm weather, that kind of brought out some people, so that kind of stirred up some business for us.
Questions of Gary?
Fortunately, it was on a full moon also, right?
Right.
Yes. Thank you. Mike?
The PLC at the booster station has been replaced and it's up and running and everything's running back on auto. There is a pump down in the booster station that runs 90% of the time. It runs, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Most of the time, the only time it doesn't run is if another pump is called to run because they open a fire hydrant or anything. So it's got a vibration in it. So I went ahead and ordered a new one. And with the pump and the motor, so that when you replace it, have this and rebuilt ready as a standby, because it's usually about 4 years is all we get out of that, running as constant as that is. And then also we had a aeration fan on the aeration unit out at the water plant that went down. We've been having problems with it for several years, but it was only in the winter time when you're real freezing weather it would kick off, but last time it wasn't able to, you know, reset it. It just kept blowing the breaker. So we took it off and it's in being repaired. Hopefully we'll have it back in a week and be back up running.
Question to Mike. Thank you. Mike?
Digester patch has been completed. The guy's done a great job on that, putting that in, so we don't have to worry about that anymore. Because it was in, it never got any bigger. We got our last roof quote. Company was in yesterday. Should have those by the end of the week. And then we'll start looking at those to see where we're at. And we made contact with our contract lab and also our engineer to continue to look at our ammonia issues that we've been having. So we're going to take a little bit different approach on this and try to look at some inorganics and some nitrification inhibitors that could be possibly being dumped on us, causing our problem. So that's where we're at on that.
Question the mic. Thank you. Chip?
Kitchen is springing into action. Play on words. We have Kat from the utilities office that's helping us, and I just wrote a note to get with you here a couple weeks. Tree letters are going out tomorrow for some trees removals. Amphitheater, we had a meeting this week, and survey should be completed next week. We got a construction timeline, so things are moving there. Marsh and I met with the EPA this week over Wayne Waste. They want to do more testing. The settlers, which is half of the groups, do not want to pay for the testing, so we'll see from there. The Get the Lead Out team for Mike, working with them for a state revolving loan fund grant, which I said earlier, we make too much money, the city does, per person, and so it's going to kind of mess with us. Still working on liquidating the jail, Smith, and the parking lot.
Questions of Chip? Thank you. Leslie?
Well, first of all, Mike showed up. Did you want to advise what the about the Board of Works approving your open position?
Yeah. I've got permission to replace an employee that was let go, so we're going to open up interviews or applications for that.
Didn't want that to be missed. As I shared in Board of Works, I'm working with BSNA, spoke with Parker today to get in to look at all of our systems. We're going to do a full day of training looking at March 24th. Hopefully confirming that soon. We'll obviously get with the department heads. They're not all going to need to be there for the whole day, but for the two-hour increments that I feel that would be imperative for them to be there for that training to see if it's something that they could utilize if we bring all the software together. And then in 2 weeks, or I guess our next meeting, I will not be here. Sally will be here. I'll be in Plainfield and training. Got to get my hours in.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you. A couple things for you to know. Number one, junk pickup. We have scheduled that for the week of April 27th. In the past, we've done two separate weeks. Now we're all doing it in 1 week. We think we can get it all accomplished in 1 week based on conversation with the trash hauler. So the week of April 27th. So we're telling everybody you have to have your stuff out on the curb by 6 a.m. on the 27th in order to ensure pickup. Because we're not sure exactly what end of the city they're going to start on. So that State of the City address is scheduled for March 13th. So obviously it is free to the public, but you have to RSVP to the chamber, and lunch is included in that. And then also we yesterday was really a good day from a legislative perspective for us. There was a really bad municipal election bill that died on the floor yesterday. That was good. There was a proposed amendment that would extend the maximum levy growth quotient for an additional year. That amendment was never called because of pressure by municipalities to their legislators. So that was a really good thing. We're making some real good progress on the local income tax pieces. So after a really tough legislative, and housing, the housing bill that was just absolute mess was amended heavily yesterday, where it's all opt-in provisions instead of opt-out. So that's very good for us as well. So, and then like I said, lit is coming along. So what's been a really rough, hard legislative session is finally coming around to being at least neutral or maybe even somewhat positive for us. So that was a really big thing. Kudos to the Ames staff for all their work on that. Besides that, having some conversations regarding electric territory and having multiple conversations with on lots of other topics and things like that. As you may have remembered, I was supposed to be at our Indiana Municipal Power Agency legislative rally today in D.C. Sean is there because he took a different flight than I did. So I did not end up making it. But with that being said, I know our IMPA team has done a great job and have been there and meeting with legislators to make sure that they understand ramifications of legislative policy changes for our municipal electric customers and for our utilities. So that's the whole purpose of Sean being there. And I've gotten some good updates from him as well. So with that, I think that's all I have right now. Dan.
Yeah, for the public out there that's having some water issues, please call City Utilities so we can record it and go have our department go out and see what the situation is, because just saying, telling people and putting on Facebook that we've got brown water isn't fixing it until you call City Utilities. We can put a work order out, record where it's at, so we can get the job done. They will hustle out and get it looked at before as fast as they can. But I'm pretty well sick and tired of people sitting there beeping about it and then not calling the proper people so we can fix it. So please, call City Utilities, put a work order out, and so we got a record of the location it's happening. So please, please, call City Utilities so we can remedy the problem, if there is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I had lunch, 2 weeks ago, I think, with the water staff out of the shop, and I think they told me every time they've gone out to those calls, they've opened up the well pit, or the meter pit, excuse me, and they've gotten water out of it, and every time the water has been clear.
Yes.
So it's been inside the home has been the issue. Not saying that there isn't been other issues, but generally speaking, when they've been gone out, that's been the situation, and those residents have been educated at that moment. So I 100% agree with you. I am, with all due respect to the public, I'm so sick of hearing about it on social media, knowing full well that individuals are not calling our city utility office and reporting it and having them come out and try to fix the issue. So I thank you for your comments. Tad?
I have nothing except to agree with Dan.
Okay.
Because I've never seen anybody fix it through the computer.
No, that is true. That is true. Brent?
I have nothing.
Ryan? We have no audience, Mayor. And we have no press. And Gary has one more thing.
On the junk pickup,
yeah.
Just remind people about we're still wrapping mattresses,
yes.
Couches, stuff
yes.
like that.
So we just put out today the guidelines for junk pickup. So, yes, mattresses, anything upholstered basically has to be wrapped in plastic. It cannot be – everything cannot be more than 50 pounds. There's a certain length. All that stuff is because of truck and because of manpower and all that stuff from the trash company. Those larger things, the appliances, the tires, all that kind of stuff – you got to call City Hall ahead of time. So please, 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 don't assume. Go onto our city website at columbiacity.net or get on our city Facebook page at City of Columbia City, Indiana, and look at all the regulations on junk pickup.
Because if it's not wrapped, they won't pick it up,
they
and
will
then
not.
It sets there, and then
yeah.
we got to come out.
And then it becomes an ordinance violation.
Right.
Okay.
So we do have,
yes.
Cindy, was the end date the 1st of May, Kelly? Because we're doing a pickup
yeah.
on May 6th.
I think they have to call by May 1st.
May 1st. So
at noon.
Any junkers that want to go out between May 1st and May 6th,
yeah.
you have free reign.
Have free reign.
Utilities are closed on the 5th, right?
Yes.
That Tuesday.
Yes.
So.
But they got to call by the 1st anyway.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a lot of those things, by the way, a lot of the things that you would put out for junk can be held or can be actually taken to the recycle center. They can take a lot of that stuff as well. I don't know about the fees, but still. So, Tom, did you have something to say or not really?
No.
Okay.
Well, typically, they have the tire amnesty days.
Yes. We've been having
those. Where you can
take the
tires yep. out for free.
Yep.
Absolutely. Thanks for the conversation, Gary.
Anything else for the good of the cause?
No.
Okay, we'll call ourselves adjourned. Thank you.